It's actually interesting to see that some of the things I'm going to talk about have already been touched by the previous speakers. This shows that we all have like similar views when it comes to AI, regardless of our beliefs and or our religion. And throughout my talk, I might mention the word like Quran or Hadith, just to give you a bit of background knowledge. Quran is the holy book that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, and Muslims believe the Quran to be the word of Allah, and Hadith is the word of the Prophet. So anyways, to talk about AI from the Muslims' perspective, I can think of numerous benefits that AI brings to Muslims. I can think of numerous benefits that AI offer to Muslims. AI offer numerous benefits, including easy access to Islamic knowledge, increasing productivity, and things like communication and community building, and so forth. There are Quranic apps that you can use to learn the Quran, and there are social media apps that you can use to connect with family and friends and loved ones. And then there are things like language translation app that you can learn language, including Arabic, which is the language that the Quran is written in. And in fact, there are like Quranic apps currently, like Tartil. This is a kind of like a new app that was developed recently to learn the Quran. It detects your mistake and it tells you when you make a mistake while reading the Quran. And the normal recommendation for Muslims is to go to the scholars when they want to learn the Quran, because scholars have like, you know, a good understanding of the Quran, so they can be able to pronounce each and every word correctly. But with things like Tartil, you can be able to learn the Quran without having to go to the scholars, which is really good. And I do think that there are a lot of other benefits that AI offer to Muslims. And it is up to us to decide how we're going to use these technologies. And I was talking with Dave the other day when he gave this example of saying that a fork is manufactured to eat, but it is up to the person using the fork to decide whether they want to use it to eat or whether they want to use it to kill someone. So this is something similar. It is up to us to decide whether we want to use AI for good or for bad. But I do think that, however, I think it is very important for us to kind of like reflect on the teaching of our religion and use these tools according to the fundamental principles of our faith. And but how do we actually use these tools according to the fundamental principles of our faith? I think one of the first questions to ask for me is like, if we are to know, for us to be able to understand how we can use these tools according to the teachings of our religion, we have to understand how these things work. And one of the first things is hallucination of AI. They can completely create things that doesn't even exist, and they won't say that they don't know. This is how they are. And the term, so in Arabic, there are scholars kind of like categorize ignorance into two different categories. There is one category that they classify as jahl basit, which is like simple ignorance, and the other one is jahl mukarrab, like complex ignorance. And they define jahl basit as laidri wa laidri laidri, which means they do not know, but at least they know that they do not know. Mm-hmm. And the other one, jahl mukarrab, is laidri wa laidri and nahu laidri, which means they do not know, but they do not even know that they do not know. So that's AI. AI is like that. Yeah, and the term hallucination might seem a bit of paradoxical because it's usually used to refer to humans, but from a metaphorical standpoint, I do think that AI, the term hallucination, accurately describes AI because they can completely create a hadith or a verse from the Quran that doesn't even exist. And from my own experience in my work, in my working environment, so there was this form that we give to clients to kind of like go to the dentist and then to treat themselves, to get treatments. And when they go there, they kind of like ask the dentist write the cost of the treatment on the form. So let's say we have two treatments, treatment A and treatment B, right? And so a discussion started around the organization where we wanted to understand how much cost is going towards each treatment. So assuming that more cost is going to treatment A, we wanted to be able to allocate more funding to treatment A in comparison to treatment B. So what we did was like we used some tools and we developed some method to extract insights from those things. The method worked well, but unfortunately the method couldn't wasn't able to extract understand handwritten digits. So what we did was like we developed an AI model that was able to make prediction based on those handwritten digits, and the AI tool performed really well. Was predicting really at a very high accuracy level. So we tried to do something different. We went onto the internet and we downloaded the picture of a cat and we then fed it to the AI model. Guess what the AI model predicted? It predicted the picture of a cat as an 8 with 100% confidence. It couldn't say that it didn't know, but it just predicted it as a cat. So that's why I do think that it's very important for us to understand how these models work. And so we can't trust this model whenever we get any information from them. We have to be like really curious about whatever we get from this model. And another thing for me is bias. They can be biased. So when I first started my PhD at Victoria University of Wellington, I was researching the literature on emotion detection. I've seen like a lot of people or researchers kind of like used deep networks, and deep networks, the previous researcher talked about that a bit. These are AI models that are developed based on the inspiration of how human brains work. These models perform really well at a very high accuracy, especially when you put feed them with let's say when you feed them with images, they perform really well. But the thing here is like when you want to make emotion prediction and you're giving images to these models, these images are actually a combination of pixels. And pixels are a combination of different colors, red, green, blue. So you are literally giving color to these images and you're asking them to make emotion prediction. So assuming that you are doing something like image classification, something like predicting highway and a forest, you would expect to see more of, let's say, black color on a highway and more due to the roads, and more of green color on a forest due to the trees in the forest. And that should work. But for emotion, you want to understand people's emotion. And there aren't just people with the same skin color across the whole world. People will have different skin colors depending on where they live in different parts of the world. So the thing is like, I tried doing several things, like making changes, like just changing the foreground color of the image, which has nothing to do with emotion detection, but then the model will perform with will perform badly. It will not be able to understand the images or the emotion of those images presented to them. Even if let's say they will perform well now, just change the color and then they will not perform well. That shows how they are. So when you take that type of model and put it in the real world, that model has a potential of performing, of being racially biased against people of different skin color because it uses color. So that is how these models work. So I do think that it is important for us to understand how they work and then we feed them with the accurate information to make the right prediction. And as a Muslim, I know Islam is strongly against bias. In fact, there's a verse in the Holy Quran, Inna akramakum inda Allahi atqakum, which says that Allah, our Creator, consider all of us as equal regarding of our sex or our tribes. And the most honorable ones are the ones who are the most God-fearing. But AI doesn't know that. We have to teach it. So it is our responsibility to teach AI this. That's why I think it's very important for us to be part of these discussions and make sure that the right things happen in the society. And having said all this, I do believe that AI will continue to amplify the future trends in our society, where the good will become better and the bad will become worse. I can see a future where learning and education will become accelerated, and things like people will become more productive and fulfilled at work because most of their tasks will be automated. But I can also see a future where there will be more unemployment and more inequality among the society. So I do think that it's up to us. That's why it's very important for us to make sure that the right thing happens for the society, and then, you know, just try to refine these models to work in the right way so that we can reduce these biases and hallucination. And if you would ask me whether you think like we should embrace AI, I would definitely say yes, because for me, I think if you look at the history, when the satellite and televisions were first introduced, Muslims were initially opposed just to later embrace these technologies and miss out on the benefit of all those years when they said they weren't useful. So that's why it's very important for us to be part of this narrative from the beginning. And just to conclude, I might be running out of time, but just to conclude, I do think that, yeah, it's very important for us to be part of this narrative from the beginning. I do think that having people with the right mentality and who will take time to understand these technologies and refine them so that they can reduce these biases and hallucinations will eventually lead to having more social good and less social harm within the society. Thank you.